We've got Dave LaPepe, who is the lead singer of Gang of Youths, and he's on the phone right now. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Nick. You almost nailed my last name, so congratulations.
I was wondering that. I was going to check with you beforehand, actually. But
No, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Excellent.
It's good.
Now, Dave, you're in the middle of some rehearsals at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, I'm currently freezing my nads off in the outside part of our rehearsal space in Sydenham. So I'm kind of sitting here waiting for all the noise to subside. My ears are ringing.
Fair enough. Well, yeah. I'll make sure I talk loud enough for you. Now, the positions, it's a raw and emotional album. I've been loving listening to it. It's just one that I keep going back to.
Thanks, man.
It took quite a while to make, I believe. But now that it's out and you've been touring it, does it feel like a bit of a release for you?
It feels like the beginning of a more fruitful season of creating things, I think. The 3 years it took to make the goddamn thing were unequivocally the most difficult of my life, I think. So I think the sense of relief is going to come when we can sort of start thinking about new material, because the whole of my adult life has been consumed with this project and being consumed with the intensity of the situation. And I suppose I hadn't really had time to sort of sit back and ponder.
Yeah.
I think it's like the incoming sense of I can start something new again.
Well, it seems it's been quite a whirlwind for you guys, it seems, over the last few
months. Oh, yeah, totally. So
the album's been out.
Yeah, it's been super, super crazy. Yeah. And we haven't really stopped. I haven't had time to sit and scratch my balls and be kind of like, you know, like I use the word ponder before. I haven't had time to sort of meditate on all we've sort of been through. So it's cool, and it's not as if I'm going to sit here and complain about it. But it's been, you know, what, 3-4 months ago, no one gave a crap, and then suddenly, you know, we're touring a lot. It's kind of a drastic change, and it's an abrasive way to begin my 23rd year of living on the earth. So,
well, it's hard to believe that you're so young, to be honest. I mean, the album is really mature. I feel like it's written from an old heart, you know.
I'm an old man. Like, honestly, I feign this 23-year-old youth and young manhood. You know, staring off into the cosmos, looking at all the bright possibilities, and bewildered and starry eyed and everything in the celestial scheme. But in actuality, I'm an old dude. I feel like half the time I feel like Descartes or Voltaire. Not that I'm anywhere near as cool or smart or philosophical, but I just feel old as hell, and yeah. I probably should be buried in the ground, or at least, you know, existing in some 16th century framework.
Well, we've got a long way to go before that happens.
But, totally.
You've made no secret of the motivation and the inspiration behind the album. Do you think the process of making it has really sort of helped you understand what you went through a bit more?
Yeah. Art is the lens through which I need to perceive my life and my history. The annals of my history is sort of, you know, I would say it's sort of like marking the walls of a prison cell in a weird way. That's what this kind of felt like.
Yeah, right.
Being a solitary confinement and being able to sort of negotiate the harsh realities of what my ex-wife and I went through.
Mm.
So for me, I guess the process of making this album enabled me to cope. It really was a coping mechanism. I like to think there was some deeper philosophical conundrum, you know, some big question behind it, but really it was just a coping mechanism, and I was able to do that and manage quite well. I missed out on the expedient part of dealing with grief, but I got through the whole, like, you know, just being visceral and guttural and cathartic. So
yeah, well, yeah. I guess an album is very cathartic, I would imagine.
Totally. Yeah, I always say this, you're slitting your wrists and you're painting a portrait of yourself and turning it around and hoping to God that someone likes it.
that's one way of putting it.
Yeah, so that's my real approach to making art, I guess.
Yeah. Listening to the album sort of technically, I hear a real authenticity of sort of a garage sound there, but it comes together with some great production from Kevin McMahon. How did you go about getting that sound on the album?
We went through a few lineup changes, and configurations changed in terms of our drummer. So a lot of the stuff that we recorded with Kevin McMahon was pretty garagey, because we recorded in a barn. So half the record was recorded in this old barn in upstate New York.
Right.
and then the stuff that was a little bit more polished was actually recorded here in Sydney, and we produced it ourselves. So there's still a blend of the lo-fi garage sound that we started out with, because we started out playing in my parents' garage, like, when I was 19.
Yeah.
And then And then I think we sort of mutated. And a lot of the ideas that were gestating inside us, in terms of the studio, we weren't sort of capable of doing until, you know, late last year, in terms of personnel, technical skill required, equipment, things like that. Sure. So, yeah, a lot of the stuff was recorded in my bedroom. A lot of the vocals were recorded on like a $60 dictaphone from Sony.
Wow.
So, yeah, we tried to make something that was, you know, that was us, but also had a sense of a sheen to it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God forbid we contribute to the enormous glut of, you know, goddamn garagey sounding lo-fi, like scunge punk type things that are pervading the consciousness of every kid in Newtown right now. We just kind of, we couldn't really see ourselves fulfilling those requirements of cool. So,
well, yeah, I can see what you mean. You think of playing live as an egalitarian experience, I've read.
Absolutely.
And that you prefer to play on the floor or level with an audience. You'll be playing here at 2SCR on Friday, and hopefully, you know, it's a quite a low stage. It's very intimate. What can
it's
you tell
democratic.
Us about playing like that?
What
can you tell us about sort of playing in that sort of, you know, level with the audience sort of there?
I grew up in the hardcore punk scene in Sydney. So thrashing my fists around with a band 2 feet away from me, that was how I grew up. The DIY ethic, the low fidelity approach, the dichotomy between artist and consumer is broken down significantly when the stage is removed. Like, unfortunately, it's an occupational hazard for me because of the kind of band I think Gang Abuse wants to be, what we want to be. It necessitates the use of a stage, of a raised platform. Mm. But I love the approach of playing on a floor with people on the same level. It's a it breaks down the awkward dichotomy. It's a human experience. It's a democratic experience. You know, it's an exchange of ideas and adoration between, you know, adoration for me to the audience and vice versa, ideas between the audience and me and vice versa. Mm. And that sense of communion, I suppose, is really, really important to me in terms of a performance element. And I think a lot of people are sort of frightened by that because it's a confronting reality, being on the same level as an audience, you know, having them... sort of so present that you're almost at their mercy. Yeah. And it's an exposed, vulnerable state, but I believe that in some ways the best kind of art that I could make as a person might possibly be in that environment. I've yet to explore that realm.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting idea, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you in a small venue. I saw it at the Oxford Art Factory, and that was quite small, and it's a really good venue. But I dare say I won't be seeing you in such small venues again. Playing at the Metro on August the 8th, you've already upgraded.
I mean, that's strange in and of itself, because the Metro was the dream when I was a 7 year old. You know, I sort of always used to walk past it with my dad.
Yeah,
and it's sort of a strange reality that we're almost sold out this venue that is so storied and so historic to me, and just so dramatically unreachable.
Well, not anymore.
You know, I've always perceived it to be some far off mythical beast, you know, the idea of me playing in front of anybody with my friends, you know.
Well, it should be a fantastic gig. Dave from Gang of Views, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, mate. I hope you have a good afternoon. Thanks for calling.